with Reiki, there are symbols that you learn and there are activations that you learn. And I find that when you're first starting out with any kind of skill that you're learning, any kind of modality that you're practicing, you really rely on the step-by-step things. You really rely on the symbols and the teachings that you learn. And then over time, you know, like when you're learning to drive a car, we learn such specific rules for driving a car. And then over time, we just find our own rhythm and our own flow with it. And that's how I found it was for Reiki. I really needed that structure. And I really needed those symbols and that understanding of how to tap into energy and how to channel it, how to, you know, manipulate energy. And then over time, now I'm just letting it flow naturally and doing it in a way that feels like completely uniquely mine.
I believe that love is all around us. Love is everything and everywhere. I am love. You are love. We are all love. In our divinity, in our soul, in the truest and simplest form of our being, we are pure, unconditional love. Love is the answer to everything. Every week in this podcast, we're talking to incredible and beautiful people who will be sharing their insights and perspectives to help you find more peace, to help you come from a place of love more often, to help encourage you to be kinder to yourself and others, to help you create more happiness in your life, to help you feel more oneness with others, and to help you connect to your higher self. My name is Justin Court. Together, we will help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to be more loving, kind, peaceful, happy, empathetic, understanding, and accepting. This can only be achieved together. It starts with each and every one of us. We are one, and it's time we start acting that way. I am so, so grateful that you're here. I love you, I support you, and I'm here for you. Let's together create more love in this world. Let's do this. Today's guest is an intuitive energy healer and teacher. Devin DiGilio is a beautiful friend who I met and connected with at a retreat earlier this year. The episode begins with her dropping in and cultivating a space of present mindful awareness. After years of living her dream as a special education teacher, her dream began to change. And as we all know, one constant in life is change. She then dove headfirst into spiritual entrepreneurship, and Reiki was her doorway into a deeper understanding of spirituality and healing. And from there, she continues to tap into the ever-evolving potential of our being. We also talk about the ability to create heaven on earth now, and realizing it's nothing we need to wait for. Yeah, so Devin, as soon as you want to just kick us off, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think the best way that I start any kind of workshop, presentation, speaking event is through dropping in, creating a space of present mindful awareness. So for those listening, it's available to you. Go ahead, I invite you to close your eyes. Join me and Justin as we drop into the present moment. In closing your eyes, you may notice your other senses coming online a little bit more strongly. You may be able to hear noises surrounding you that you otherwise wouldn't have paid attention to. And in this moment of listening to the sounds around you, you allow them to be there. No judgment, no need for them to go away. Those outer noises simply remind you that life is happening around you. You may start to feel your sense of taste, of smell, to strengthen. And you may start to notice your sense of touch, of feel, begin to strengthen. Maybe it's feeling the cool air brushing against your skin. Maybe it's the warmth of the heat in the room that you're in, or the coolness of the air in the room that you're in. Using those four senses without sight to bring your awareness to this present moment. And if it's not available, to close your eyes, using that fifth sense of sight to take in what is around you. And as you do this, begin to pair your breathing, deepening the inhales through your nose, drawing the exhales out of your mouth, intentionally slowing everything down, both within and thus without. Whatever posture you're in, whether you're standing or sitting or laying down while listening to this, feel the surface that lays beneath you, whether it be a piece of furniture, a chair, bed, couch, or the ground, the grass, Mother Earth beneath you. The surface beneath you, holding you safe and sound, reminding you that in this moment, you are held. Taking one last deep inhale through your nose, once again, slowing it all down. You can begin to bring subtle movement into your body as it feels right for you, swaying back and forth, wiggling toes, fingers, rolling your neck, rolling your shoulders, shaking any part of your body out as you want, and taking a moment of gratitude for this present moment, honoring and celebrating yourself for taking a mindful moment. With that, one last deep inhale through your nose. And on the exhale, letting it out, fluttering your eyes back open as you're ready. Ready to take on the rest of your morning, your day, your night, whatever comes next.
It's so awesome, because coming into this conversation, I was like, it'd be really cool if we did like a grounding or present sort of a meditation. And then asking you before, I didn't want to like guide or dictate at all, you know, in the direction you wanted to take it in, and you took it right exactly there.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I love a mindful moment. I love an invitation to come back into the present. So happy to do so.
I loved a part of it too. When we had our eyes closed and you're saying, you know, if you hear the sounds from outside, just kind of acknowledge them and just like understand that that's life happening, and just kind of making it a part of the meditation. Because I think it was Eckhart Tolle who I saw recently, and he had talked about that. He's like, if you're meditating and somebody's cutting the lawn outside or something's like really loud, allow that to be the meditation.
Yeah.
So often, I mean, I'll speak from myself, is I heard a loud car go by or mowing the lawn or something, some sort of a noise outside, it would take me out of the meditation. I'd be like, all right, well, I guess I can come back and do this later. But it's so important, I think it's so important just to allow it to be and to make that the meditation, because that's life. It's not like, right? It's like when we go out of that meditation, we don't walk into quietness everywhere. There's noise, there's movement, there's things going on. So I think that was, thank you, a beautiful reminding to allow those things to be present and to work those into the meditation when they happen.
You're so welcome. And I love that prompt to let it be a part of the meditation. And I think something that I said in there too was like, it reminds you that life is happening all around us and that we are a part of life happening. And I think that's a beautiful part of tuning into the present moment.
Yes. Devin, it is beautiful to see you. Devin is another jungle friend from a retreat we went on earlier this year. And it was cool. Me and Devin, we connected very quickly, which was really nice. You know, when you meet someone who's very like-minded, like-hearted, and you just, the energy feels good. And the space that we were in made that even easier for us, I think. But it was just like a really beautiful connection, I think, that we had like right off the bat. And then we got to talk more, learn more from each other. I was grateful and lucky enough to be on your podcast too. So I'm excited just to continuously keep this relationship and friendship moving forward. Because you are a special person to me, honestly. And I just cherish our friendship. And I love what you're bringing to the world through your Reiki teaching, through your spiritual teaching. So we're definitely going to jump into those things because, you know, I was like so interested in Reiki, something like I didn't really know much or at all really about. And you've helped me understand it more. But I think an important part of this episode is to, you know, help educate people on what it is, what comes from it, just what that practice really does look like, because, you know, it is something that a lot of people just still are unaware of, and it can be so powerful. So, you know, like, why not use this as a platform to help inform other people of this practice? So then they can look into it themselves. They can reach out to you and have you help them as well too. But I know, right, you didn't start off in this realm. I know you started off as a teacher, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a school teacher. And Devin, you talked about this during your speech at the retreat, but please talk about that. What was that like? You know, I know that was your dream job at one point, and then you pivoted and switched over. So what was that kind of experience? What was that journey like for you?
Thank you, Justin. Yeah, it is, as you understand, we are these ever-evolving beings. And so it's funny that my career started out as a special education teacher, which was something that I'd always dreamt of. I'd known from an earlier age that being a teacher was something that I wanted to do. My mom was a teacher, but it wasn't even, you know, necessarily seeing her as a teacher. It was just my pull towards working with others and, you know, with children, being a camp counselor, being a babysitter, being a tutor. And I had an experience in high school where I had an elective and I was working with, we got to visit a preschool a few times in the week, I think it was. And we got to be like a helper, a classroom helper. And I remember being asked who wanted to go into the autistic support classroom. And for some reason, I had never really known or met anybody with autism. I didn't really know anything about any kind of special needs. This is in high school, and I volunteered. And it really opened my eyes in that moment to like, these are the kids that I want to be working with, the kids who, you know, think a little bit differently, behave a little bit differently, have different emotional needs than maybe your typical preschooler. And yet I felt like I could understand them and see them in a way that maybe not others could as well. And so that's what really drew me to the field of special education. And there was no question about it. Like I was, you know, from high school through college and after, it was like, that's who I'm meant to work with. Those are the kids that I want to work with. And it was within my nature to be a helper, to be a teacher, to be a leader. And that's exactly where I found myself after college.
Mm. And so wild. And then, so when did you start to feel the shift towards spiritual teaching, towards Reiki master? Because it's just, it's awesome, Devin, that first off, you followed your initial dream, your path of where you wanted to go. But I think the most powerful part about your story is that you're a living, breathing example that your dreams can change. And that's okay. And you can follow them, right? Just because, you know, when you're younger, you have this set idea of where your life's going to go and who you're going to become. And that's fine. That's beautiful. Doesn't mean that as you grow and as you change, you have to be stuck in that certain thing. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, like, well, this is what I've thought my entire life. Where can I go from here? this is just where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. But it's great in our adulthood when we can make these drastic shifts of profession, of how we make our money, how we survive essentially, into something different. If like our being, our soul, if that changes, it becomes different to follow that path. So I would just love to hear more about that, of when did you start to feel that shift and change, and what was that like, you know, leaving something that was your dream job that you loved into something different?
I love that we're having this exact conversation and speaking to this topic, because as I'm sharing this with you, I'm going through another round of like transformation and what's coming up in my life. So it's very real for me. And I also this morning just read an article that was sent to me on impermanence. And it was written by, catch me if I'm pronouncing his name wrong, Thich Nhat Hanh.
I'm not sure.
I'm probably butchering his name. I apologize for that. But he wrote an article on this concept of impermanence and how nothing is actually permanent. Everything is changing. And it's not even necessarily these big changes like, oh, I'm changing careers. I'm now finding myself in a, you know, new relationship or new environment. It's like, no, every single day there is change. We are changing. And it's on the spiritual journey, the goal for us, I think, is to get comfortable with this ever-evolving nature of us and everything around us. And so when I think about the change made back then, it was probably March of 2020 when COVID hit, that I started to enter into what I consider to be my spiritual awakening and my spiritual journey, where I started getting curious about what more was out there in my life experience. I was feeling limited in certain ways, like limited by anxious thoughts, limited by, you know, just all the things that we as humans tend to stress about on a day-to-day, not knowing why all the time. And it was in that exploration and in that spiritual awakening that I started then seeking out beyond, you know, just beyond like podcasts, beyond social media accounts, beyond books, like actually reaching out to coaches and healers to help me through this. And it was when I met my first spiritual coach. This was now a year after COVID. So it was August of 2021. That summer was really huge for me because I had felt called to become Reiki certified. Reiki had been a part of my life for about 4 to 5 years prior to then. So it's interesting because I never knew that Reiki would be such a huge part of my life moving forward. You know, I thought it was just something that I was going to, like a regular massage or a regular like acupuncture appointment, like, you know, just something that helps make you feel good. Naturally, of course, in the process of becoming certified myself, coming across my very first spiritual coach and diving into the deeper healing work, everything just snowballed from there. And then I honestly look back at it now, I'm like, it just happened and flowed so seamlessly then that I ended up leaving teaching and stepping into spiritual entrepreneurship.
I feel like it's wild when we like really, truly, truly follow our passion and in every moment act at our highest excitement of what we truly want, the friction, it all moves away. We just move like seamlessly and effortlessly towards the truth of who we are. And I love that. Devin, I love so much that you changed everything because you felt deep within you this change and you wanted to manifest it in actual reality. So beautiful and so awesome. I love that so much about you. Are you open to talking about some of the transformations that are happening now that you were
mentioning?
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah. You know, I also want to disclose that I maybe made it seem like it was seamless and effortless. And in a way, yes, it was. And also we know that like, you know, big change doesn't happen just by sitting on your couch, like doing nothing and waiting for it to come. Like there was so much work that went into it. But when you look, like when I look at it from the outside perspective, I'm like, wow, Devin, you actually did that so beautifully. And it's a testament to the support, the resources, the coaches, the mentors, the investments that I've made that we naturally make whenever we are trying to usher in big change in our lives. Mm. Again, also interesting because we started off this conversation and you are bringing up the topic of me as a Reiki healer and that being a large part of my business. And it is. It was basically what my business was conceived from, was this practice of Reiki healing, which is an ancient Japanese form of energy healing. And so I have that part of me to thank for how I got into my business. And now I'm finding myself expanding beyond that. So in the beginning of my business, I was offering one-off Reiki sessions in person and remotely. And then it expanded a little bit more to where I was doing group coaching and mentorship, and then expanded a little bit more where I was offering, one-on-one mentorship for 6 to 12 months at a time, expanded beyond that, where I was doing in-person events, corporate events. And of course, as you know, expanded beyond that, where I'm now speaking on stage and have a podcast. And now I'm finding myself evolving and expanding even more. And with that, naturally, Reiki is a part of it, but it's not the main focus of my work.
Do you think it's the main seed that everything came from?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then, so even when you go speak places or you go do sessions with an individual or a group, is it mainly Reiki that you're doing, or is it other things as well?
It's other things, because the way that I learned Reiki healing is actually very simple. All that it involves is, at least the way that I learned it and the way that I know generally people pick it up is through a weekend-long training where you're learning the history. You're learning what Reiki is, which is really... Reiki, the word itself means life force energy or universal energy. It's the same exact word as prana, as chi. It's energy. And that was really the first understanding that I had of this life force energy that we have and our ability to channel energy, to, receive more energy, to activate the flow of energy that's already naturally moving through our bodies and through everything else. I always joke that Reiki is Reiki healing is the gateway drug to other forms of spirituality and energy healing. Yes, definitely the conception or the seed of my work. Did I miss your question? We're gonna have to come back to that.
No, you're good. I'm just curious because I know you do Reiki, obviously. And this is something obviously that we've said too, is been the seed of where you come from and where your practice and where your business is now. And so I'm just really trying to understand what else you're doing besides Reiki when you're at these, events or with certain people. Is it your Reiki business has evolved to now where you're doing in all these different places, or your actual business of what you're doing when you're going to these places has evolved with Reiki, but then also past Reiki?
That's a great question. And I think it's probably all things. Yes. Reiki, I think, is still kind of at my foundation because it opened up so much for me. It opened up my intuitive abilities. Now I'm finding myself reading energy. I'm able to read chakra energy. I'm able to see energy. I'm able to, in my head, I'm able to visualize what movement of energy looks like in another person, in a room that I'm in, and in even some objects sometimes. And so it helped to open me, hence why I call it the gateway. And it's something that I think I naturally, or anybody that works with energy, I think we naturally begin to infuse these understandings of Reiki healing, of any of the other practices, energy healing practices like Qigong or acupuncture, acupressure, all of that stuff. I think it becomes, second nature. It becomes second nature to just infuse the foundational understanding that we have in what we do. Right. So I think I'm living in Reiki. I'm living with the practices, the principles of Reiki in this moment and in every single moment.
Yes. It's beautiful. I feel like Reiki opened you up to the energies of the universe. And now through that little opening. It's starting to expand more. We are understanding more of the power of the universe, the energies that are all around us. You're able to see them, read them, understand them, feel them more. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's awesome.
You know how, so you might not know this actually, but with Reiki, there are symbols that you learn and there are activations that you learn. And I find that when you're first starting out with any kind of skill that you're learning, any kind of modality that you're practicing, you really rely on the step-by-step things. You really rely on the symbols and the teachings that you learn. And then over time, you know, like when you're learning to drive a car, we learn such specific rules for driving a car. And then over time, we just find our own rhythm and our own flow with it. And that's how I found it was for Reiki. I really needed that structure and I really needed those symbols and that understanding of how to tap into energy and how to channel it, how to, you know, manipulate energy. And then over time, now I'm just letting it flow naturally and doing it in a way that feels like completely uniquely mine.
I love that. I love that we're getting into this part because I did not see this coming here. You know, I kind of thought that Reiki was Reiki. That's exactly what you did. I didn't really conceive the idea or concept that, it's tapping you. This is like your plug in to the universe. Yes. It's tapping you into so much more. And honestly, that car analogy, driving was like perfect because I think we need like these structures, these things in place. We need this foundation so we can be stable. But then from there, you can just go in the direction that you go into, what feels right for you, your own understanding in your own like unique way. I love this idea of even Reiki just to open myself up to the grander aspects of the universe, really, and to tap into it more. I'm listening to a book right now. It was recommended by a friend of mine whose brother passed away this year. And through that, you know, she's getting curious. She's wanting to tap more into the universe, into the understanding of, you know, where we go after we die. What does this look like? And the book is called The Light Between Us. It's by Laura Lynn Jackson. And so she's essentially, she's a spiritual healer. She's able to see energy. She's able to see people's auras and understand kind of based on their soul and the direction they're going in. She's also able to connect to the other side, tap into other souls who have passed so she can help them communicate with people here. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because like through that book, it's making me realize, I was like, wow, we can really tap into the universe and like really, really start to understand these things on a deeper level. And now you're kind of showing that to me in real time that a practice like Reiki or something like that can give us the ability to do that. Because when I thought about Reiki, Devin, I kind of thought about the sense like if I was ever to do Reiki or become like a Reiki master, that's what I would focus on. That would be kind of like the box I was in almost essentially. Like a box, but not really, but sort of. I never thought about this other aspect, that this can be like that first step kind of into the expansion and the opening of our understanding of the universe, energies, and how things work like that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, coming back to what we were talking about earlier in this conversation of how we navigate change and, you know, how we go from something like being a special education teacher, which is what was my dream job and a large part of my identity that I attached to now being a Reiki master, to being a spiritual teacher. I mean, now I'm experiencing where I might be dropping the title of Reiki master to make space for something else. And that is, it's not easy. Like I find myself flowing naturally in that direction, but I still, like the other day, I've thought about it. I thought about going to my Instagram, you know, editing my bio and taking out Reiki master and replacing it with something else. And I just couldn't do it yet. I wasn't ready to like, I didn't really know what else to put there. Right. And like, that's hard because we become attached to these identities, these labels of ours. And so when I say it was easy for me to go from special education teacher to spiritual entrepreneur, like, yes, and also there was a probably like grieving process and a like weird feeling of dropping one title and adopting another.
I was talking to Timmy about this the other day. He's one of our other buddies from the retreat. You can move away from something into something beautiful that you love, that is who you truly are, and still mourn that thing that you just left. It's both.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was about to ask you, Devin, too. I'm like, do you think you're going to drop Reiki from your... do you honestly just feel like your knowledge or understanding of things has just expanded past just the idea? I don't say just the idea, but it's expanded past the known idea or concept of what Reiki is?
I think so. And also, I think my reasoning for holding on to it is because people see that word and they're like, ah, I get it. I know what you do.
Yeah.
Right? People who know what Reiki is, they're like, ah, okay, she's a Reiki master. I know what she does. It's clear. And for me to move on from that, to move like beyond that in a sense, I think there's a resistance because it's like, are people actually going to know and understand what it is that I do if I don't have Reiki master? Is somebody going to know and understand what I do if I'm not a special education teacher or not a, you know? And so to answer your question, yes, I feel like I'm expanding beyond. And there's a version of me who like needed and loved being that Reiki healer, Reiki master. And now I'm just looking for something else.
I love it. You're going to change the name, the title. You're going to change how you're showing up in the world in a different way that is more aligned to who you really truly are, right? This is your path, your journey to get to that other place. And being a Reiki master and having that as your title and having people know you as that is just a part of this beautiful process during your evolution and growth. So I'm excited. I know you're going to change it eventually at some point. And I don't think there's a rush. I think you should, like you're doing, following your intuition. It's okay to take a step back in a moment and be like, is this actually good for business? Because people may not understand exactly what I do. But as you grow and evolve, Devin, and as you become this other version of yourself, it's going to be transparent through your actions and your teachings and the people you're helping that you are this other version. And then I think at that point, maybe, obviously it's up to you, then it will switch things over because it'll be just feel like natural at that point because that's already who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. There's one thing that I want to drive home at this part of the conversation. It's the sacred permission that sometimes we need for us to embrace change and to embrace our ever-evolving identity. I'm 31 years old right now, and like 29-year-old Devin, different in many ways, the things that she wanted, the things that she like dreamt of, preferred, lived by, different. There's nothing like this 31-year-old version is not any better than that 29-year-old version. It's just different. It's just evolved and expanded. And so for those listening, wherever you find yourself in life, it's probably very likely at this point in time that you're finding yourself wanting different, wanting more, thinking differently, you know, showing up differently. And I think that it's beautiful that we do that.
It's awesome. And like, thank you, Devin, for literally giving people permission to do that. Really, because people listening to this episode and just seeing you start to change, it gives people permission to do the same. Who were afraid to do it, who thought they may be ridiculed, or who thought it might be scary, because it is. You know, it can be scary, of course, to change things totally. It's so beautiful in the fact that when we can see something good or beautiful in another person, we know that that also lives and resides within us as well. And I feel like that we're so connected. That's why when you see somebody doing something that you may want to do or that inspires you, you're connected. You know that you can do the same exact thing. And it's just sometimes nice to almost get that like flash into the future of yourself by seeing this other person and be like, oh, I can do this too. And I love this conversation. I love that we're talking about this. And I love that you're accepting and moving with your ever evolving self.
Thank you, Justin. I had no idea that the conversation would head in this direction, and here we are.
And if you could, just so for everyone listening, can you just explain Reiki, what that is really? I know we touched on it a little bit, but like really exactly what's happening during sessions and all that good stuff.
Absolutely, yes. So at its most traditional way, easy, accessible, I find Reiki healing to be probably one of the most accessible forms of energy healing. So for those who are interested in either experiencing energy healing or getting into it themselves, Reiki healing is, as I mentioned, the gateway. So Reiki, the word itself, Japanese for life force energy or universal energy. It's recognizing that we are energetic beings. Everything around us, within us, is made up of energy. And with that, there is an infinite source of energy in any given moment. And so Reiki healing, an attuned Reiki practitioner uses their hands as a sort of channel for this life force energy. You can most commonly do Reiki in person, which is, Justin, what you and I experienced together at the retreat, where I was gently placing my hands in different positions of your body and moving my hands to facilitate the flow of energy. As a Reiki practitioner, I serve as a channel or a conduit for this infinite source of life force energy to come through me, to be channeled through me and to you. So an important distinction to make is that when I'm working on you as the Reiki practitioner, I am not giving you my energy. I am simply the channel through which energy is coming through me and to you. So that's working in person. At the very least, Reiki is for stress reduction and relaxation. It also has the ability to be extremely healing to the mind, body, and soul. I've used it on people who are navigating illness. My mom was navigating a cancer journey a couple years back. We did Reiki every single day, and it aided what Jira complimented, the care that she was receiving from the medical professionals. So it's this holistic practice that can have such great benefits to the mind, body, and soul, can complement what the Western medical world is doing today. And then you also have the ability to receive and to send Reiki healing remotely over Zoom. That's actually most of the work that I do is over Zoom virtually, because energy knows no bounds. It is no different than you and me hopping on this Zoom call and talking, and we're just feeling each other's energy in ways like you are lifting my vibration, in ways I'm lifting yours. Or if we were having a very different conversation, we would have the ability to bring each other down, to make each other feel, you know, stressed, frustrated, worried. That's energy. And because energy knows no bounds, because energy is free flowing, we have the ability to tune into energy in any given moment from wherever we are, and to use intentionality through meditation, through this Reiki healing, to help facilitate the flow of energy through the body, and to like clear blockages, clear any stagnancy that might be happening in the physical body.
And do you know on like certain parts of the body where the chakras align and you are stuck, you can like feel the energy being stuck in a certain place, right? So if you feel it stuck on certain chakras, does that kind of tell you, give you an idea of what that person's holding on to, what they're going through?
It does. Yeah. If you're working in person, you can use something like a pendulum, which is really just any type of string with a weight at the end of it. And if you hover that over different parts of the body, it's picking up on the flow of the chakra, the directional spin of the chakra. Our chakras are our energy centers. For those that follow Dr. Joe Dispenza, he refers to them as energy centers. And our energy centers are these free-flowing wheels or discs or balls of energy. I like to think of them as like the gears in mechanics, right? So you have like the wheels or the gears that are turning, and they need to turn a certain way in a certain direction in order for the machine to work. It's the same way with our energy body. These chakras, they have to be spinning in any given moment in a clockwise direction for energy to naturally and easily flow throughout our body. So if I'm working in person, I'll use something like a pendulum to help me understand the flow of energy throughout your body. When I'm working remotely, it's completely intuitive. This is where I'm really relying on my clairs, my clairvoyance, my clairaudience, et cetera, to let me know what the person that I'm working with, what they're experiencing, where there are blockages, and how I can then use Reiki to clear some of those blockages and to help facilitate, activate more natural flow.
Yeah. So for instance, say like someone's heart chakra is spinning, am I getting it right counterclockwise, would be the way that we would just let us know that there's some sort of a blockage there.
Yes.
So then, so if you see that on somebody, then what's that, like, what's that next step? What's that next move from you?
So knowing what each energy center governs for us, what each chakra governs, we have these energy centers that that do govern different parts of our mind, body, soul, well-being. So if we're talking about the heart chakra, the fourth energy center of ours, naturally, it makes sense. It's going to govern all things connection, love, self-care. And so if a person has a blockage in their heart chakra, one, I will know automatically that that'll have to do something to do with connection, love, et cetera. And then that prompts me to get a clearer understanding of like, okay, what's the blockage there and how is that manifesting on that physical level? Because in energy healing, energy work, or the world of energetics, we understand that everything happens on an energetic level first, and then it manifests on the physical level. So you're experiencing a blockage in your heart chakra, and thus that's going to manifest as you feeling maybe disconnected from a partner, maybe not taking care of your own body, maybe not, you know, feeling that sense of self-love.
One of the kind of wild things about it too, which when I think about it, I'm like, how did I not think about it in this way? But the fact that you can do it remote, and I think maybe the block there and why I thought you couldn't do that prior is because you were giving your energy in that moment. So I think that's like one of the coolest things about it. And thank you for clarifying that and making that just like super clear that it's not your energy. It's the infinite energy of the universe. And because of that, you can have these sort of sessions or teachings across the world or anywhere.
Absolutely. And let me make this very important distinction too, that the reason why I encourage others becoming attuned to Reiki and understanding how it works is because without that understanding, without that attunement, maybe I've had people come up to me and be like, I put my hands on this person because I felt guided to, and then I felt like it drained my energy. Like I felt like I was giving them my energy. I literally had a person the other month tell me that she felt guided to put her hands over her partner's, her boyfriend's throat because he was having a sore throat. He felt totally better following that, and then she developed a sore throat. So that is why I really highly recommend training, attunement, so that you are not giving away your energy to anybody else to make them feel better. Because what happens is you then exchange, you take on their energy or the things that had attached to them. So yes, Reiki works remotely because I'm not giving you my energy. It is channeling through me, and with intention, it's channeling to you.
Now, during the retreat, I think Sean had said something like that he, right, he did something and he put his hand over somebody and gave them their energy, and then he was like drained after it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You and I were talking to him after that happened. He was like laying limp on the couch there after he had, you know, done a really nice thing of putting his hands on somebody who was experiencing a lot of grief and a lot of heaviness. And ultimately, she felt better because he could feel the energy like coming, you know, like coming from him and to her. But then he felt drained afterwards. So we can't just be doing that, putting our hands on people with good intention, but giving them our energy.
And like, now that this is so clear, like, of course, tap into the infinite energy of the universe that exists all around us. Like, And I think that's like a really good distinction within this practice to give people this sort of an understanding, because even in that understanding, it helps, I think, you tap more into the understanding of energy. Just like right there, just understand that you can do it from afar. It's like, oh, okay, that can be like one of the bricks that lays on top of another one that helps people get clarity on our own energy. Energy is everywhere. Everything is made up of energy. It's just infinite around us all the time. Ah, Devin, I want to go back to your evolving change because I'm like just in love with it and super interested in it. And I'm very excited to see where things are going to go for you. And it's not like who you're going to become because you already are that person. It's just like how you're going to tap more into and discover really who you are and allow that to manifest. But where do you like, do you have a vision of where you think things are going to go? Or are you just like allowing yourself in the moment to be here and just guide you, or how does that look?
Thank you. I do have a vision, and it's so something that a part of my gift, I guess, is being able to see like being able to pick up on collective energies and the direction in which the collective is heading in. And a big part of that is community, is people seeking out other like-hearted, like-minded individuals to evolve and to heal with and expand with. And, you know, you and I talked about this at the retreat of what our goals were, where we wanted to head to. And I think I may have told you then, and you also said that community was a large part of where you envisioned yourself heading, right?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so much of that, the time that we had at the retreat really solidified how important it is to find yourself or to surround yourself with the right people in the safe, sacred spaces, because that is where we really experience the healing and the deep connection and the evolution and expansion of ourselves as individuals and also as a collective.
Yes, I cannot agree more with that. And we definitely did like link up on that because, you know, when you're in that sort of a community, it's like you're living on heaven on earth already. It's like you're in it. You don't need to wait for anything. You don't need to search outside of that community. It's like it just feels so great. Like being at that retreat for those, you know, 5 or 6 days, I just felt like that was where I was supposed to be always. Like I never felt more present and grateful for a longer period of time. It was insane. One of the great parts about that is that we didn't really have internet access very well. So that gave me permission to like really cut off from the outside world and really be there with everybody, truly being there with each other in our conversations and the experiences that we were sharing and things like that. But that's one of the things too that helped remind me when I was there. And I don't know, I shared this with a couple of people, but, and we'll get into this question because this is the question I ask everybody on the podcast, is, you know, helping shift the collective consciousness of the planet to one that's more loving, kind, peaceful, empathetic, forgiving, understanding, a consciousness that just knows and believes our oneness. And at the retreat, it helped remind me that I don't need to wait anymore. And I say reminded me because I've always known this as at a deep universal truth. But at the retreat, I actually remembered it before the retreat as Justin, you know, in this version of my existence. And I remembered it. And then being at the retreat, I was like, oh yes, that was like another reminder for me because we don't need to wait. It's like in my view of like the new earth and Eckhart Tolle's book, The New Earth is amazing. But like in that thought or concept of like how that exists, where that's at, for so long, it was something I was like really desperately striving for. And when we're desperate towards things and we want, we just start to push those things more away from us. So it was like kind of releasing that want and that desire. And anytime, even before the retreat, where I would catch myself getting aggravated that we weren't quite there yet, I would be aware of that thought and be like, okay, this is not serving me at all. That does not serve me at all to want and strive and to not even be grateful or present for what we have right now. But having the awareness of that and being, okay, that's not how I want to show up right now. I don't want to be desperate for this thing. I don't want to not be present here and just want something else and wait till this other thing comes. I can finally feel great and be totally happy or live in this sort of euphoria that I want to live in. It's understanding that it can exist right now. There's nothing that you need to wait for at all. Like there's people literally living it right now all the time. And again, that retreat, being around those like-minded, like-hearted people who are just loving and kind, and we genuinely cared about each other, and we are sharing these deep personal experiences. Like maybe this is for the next episode, because your share during your speech about those two times when you were younger, it was like a 3 months old and then like 7 years, whatever it was. That was like, I feel like I just knew you on such like a deep level so quickly with that experience. And I love your mom. I don't know if I've told you that. I want you to know how I thought about your mom a few times now, really. And just how courageous and beautiful and how just amazing she is for what she did and how she raised you both as a single mother. Like that's not easy to do. I have two kids right now and I have the most amazing wife and I cannot fathom doing this by myself. And just such respect and admiration and love for your mom.
Thank you. I will happily pass that along to her, and she will love to listen to that on this, you know, on the episode as well.
Yeah. But really, like being there, we just opened up to each other so easily. And like when you're in that sort of environment, it's easy to do that. Like in the normal everyday world, if you just came up to me, Devin, out of nowhere, and well, I would love you for that. But in the normal world that we live in, if you just went up to a random person and you shared some sort of a deep, deep experience that you've had, it's weird. Not to everybody, but the societal norm is like, that's a little like TMI, like too much information right off the bat. Like, what are you doing? With us there in that retreat, we jumped into that stuff in like the first moments of meeting each other, a lot of people there. And it is that environment and it's the vibration and the energy of the people there that completely transformed the reality that we were living in. We weren't not living in this reality of society here now. We were living somewhere completely different. And that just let me know we can go and live and be there whenever we want. Most importantly, like you were talking about before, community is just so, so important with that.
Yes. And this question of why wait, like I think my vision is to create a community that fosters and supports that level of connection, that level of healing and growth without you having to go to a 5-day retreat in the Mayan jungle, without you having to, you know, spend thousands of dollars. And like, I'm saying this as somebody who avid, like lover of retreats, like I will be going to them. I will be hosting them till the end of time. And also I would love nothing more for people to feel like they don't have to go away to access that, that it's happening right here, right now. All you have to do, especially in this age of technology that we're in, all you have to do is sign onto a Zoom call and you're greeted by hundreds of people, you know, that, and you're in a space held by me or by any of those that I'll be bringing on for this community space, where you can let the walls down, where you can feel like you are so supported, connected, loved, guided in any given moment. And I say this as something that I'm creating. And also I know that this is going to be a part of our evolution as a collective.
I want to ask you the last question before we cut out. Devin, can we set up a phone call and talk more about this community afterwards?
Because
it's like you're speaking to my soul. It's like, it could have been me saying the exact things that you were saying. So I would love to just learn more about that, possibly partner, we'll see, but I would just love to understand more about what you're doing with that. So before we cut out the question, ask every guest. So I've already prefaced it with, you know, shifting the collective consciousness to this place of unity and oneness and love. Devin, how do you feel like every single day you are helping contribute towards this beautiful shift of consciousness?
I love that question, Justin. And I think that my response is one that will deeply resonate with you. And it's being love. I realized through my healing journey that I know that we didn't get into, but through my healing journey, I realized that what I was doing was deconditioning everything that I thought love to be. across my entire life. And I truly believe that the spiritual journey is the journey home to self and ultimately a journey home to love. And when I realized that, I say that at the end of last year, I cracked the code to living the way that I want to live. And it is living with love or being love in everything that I do and everything that I say and where I'm going. I really try to let that be my anchor. And I think I've listened to your episode with Neil and he seemed to reiterate the same thing. So I'm like, all right, that's it. It's not rocket science.
It's really not. And like when you live that life, you know it. You know it on another level. It's not just wondering or I believe it'll be this way. You know. And you know during it too, and I can speak from experience because I'm not loving every single moment. So the moments that I am love compared to the moments that I'm not love, I'm like, wow, it is so much better on the side of love. So much better for myself, for my life, for my thoughts, my mentality, for the people all around me. It's just when you can tap into that, you just feel how incredible it really is.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I really encourage too for us, for those listening, it might not feel completely accessible. We might not realize what that really means. And that's the journey of it. It's a journey of understanding what love is to you. Love might be uniquely different, you know, between me and you and anybody else, but it's finding what love means to you and showing up in that loving way that you can.
Mm. That was a great part to add. If it feels inaccessible now, I love that. Just like stay with it, see how it works for you. Guys, in high school, when I was like 14 or 15, I used to have a list of people I hated. So I feel like at any point, no matter where you're at, no matter the hate you may be feeling in your heart and your soul right now, and where you are right now, does not at all mean where you're going to stay. And kind of going back to right in the beginning of the conversation, everything's changing in every moment. You as well. So don't ever feel like you're stuck or stagnant. You can always, always change and evolve.
Yes.
Sorry, before we cut out, can you please let everyone know just where they can reach you online, websites, social media, all that good stuff?
Yeah, thank you. The easiest way to connect with me is on Instagram at Enlighten and Empower is my Instagram page. Would love to hear from you. Please DM me. Let me know how this conversation resonated. Through there, you can have access to my website and any of the offerings, any of the developments that are coming.
Nice. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes. Devin, I love you so much. I'm so grateful for our friendship and our connection and just getting to know each other more.
I love you, Justin. Thank you so much for having me today. This was such a great time.
Of course. People out there listening, reach out to Devin if you have any questions about Reiki, if you want to understand more about spiritual healing, energy healing, don't ever hesitate. Hit her up. We love you guys so much. Thank you for being here and cannot wait to see everybody next week. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to help share this with the world. We put a lot of energy, effort, and time into creating this beautiful podcast with these incredible guests to help bring more awareness to the love that exists all around us. So if you can help spread some love, we'd really appreciate it. Love you.